Save big on everything you need when you shop at Menards. Spidey Electric smart home products make everyday living simply smarter. Stay connected to home while you're away with wireless outdoor security cameras. Control all your smart home products from anywhere using one easy-to-use app. View our entire selection of Fight Electric smart home products today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for other great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Class is now in session. And the UPS store is here to help you ace arriving on campus. Our certified packing experts can pack everything you need, from desktops to decor. Plus, when you pack and ship with us, you get our exclusive pack and ship guarantee. Your items arrive safe or your money back. Restrictions and limitations apply. To get a 20% off packing coupon and for full details, visit the upsstore.com/packing.
Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show where we explore the many methods of transformation and aim to mine a few nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, just like the nightingale, the bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and I'm delighted to have you with me today. Today's show is brought to you in association with NasalGuard, the drug-free nasal gel that uses electrostatic technology to block harmful airborne contaminants. It blocks indoor and outdoor allergens, so it's great for travellers as well as people with pet allergies. We'll hear more from NasalGuard later in the show, as well as look back at an interview from a couple of years ago with the eminent philosopher Irvin Laszlo, whose message fitted in well with today's theme, and I thought it worth revisiting. Maybe it was the full moon in Scorpio energy, the pink moon, so named by Native Americans after the pink wild phlox that blooms in April, but I feel compelled to talk about community, coming together, and what that means for our health and well-being. I suppose it was uppermost in my mind because I've been feeling the benefits of community myself and feeling grateful for it. The thing is, I recently experienced a rash on my face, which was caused by a sensitivity to a skin serum I'd been sent to try. I had checked the ingredients, well, those I could find anyway, and had thought it okay, but my sensitivity or intolerance must have grown, and I ended up with a pretty nasty redness and puffiness on my face and neck and the back of my hands, as that's where I would rub any excess. Now, any of you who have experienced this kind of thing will know exactly how awful it can make you feel in yourself. So I can tell you it's back to my old skincare regime of organic cold-pressed coconut oil or other pure oils, maybe with a bit of CBD or frankincense in there. But the main thing for me is that I know exactly what I'm putting on my skin and how well I tolerate it. So, what's that got to do with community, I hear you ask? Well, I was very touched that a dear friend whose training in biogeometry came to the rescue without being asked to help me get back on form. Biogeometry, by the way, is described as using the energy principles of shape to qualitatively balance biological energy systems and harmonize their interactions with the environment. Balancing the activities of daily life, achieving harmony with our inner and outer environments, humanizing modern technology and integrating science and spirituality. And from the little I've experienced of it, I loved the result. I want to know much more, so perhaps I'll manage to persuade someone to join me here on a future show to talk about it. Balancing, harmony, integration. These are all keywords that lead to well-being, not just for individuals, but communities and the entire planet. Oneness and community. I uploaded a couple of videos about some of my thoughts on that to my new YouTube channel, Alternatively Speaking, recently, and I thought I'd share them with you today. Here's an extract from the two videos in question. Oneness. If you have been around the kind of people that I have been for so long, you'll have heard that word an awful lot, oneness. What actually is it, though? Some people think it's just being in a, you know, being together with people who think the same way, like you're in some kind of group of like minds and you do the same stuff. You're at one with each other, but that's not really it. I think the issue with oneness is that it actually does the opposite. The word and the use of the word does the opposite, because you see, we are all one anyway. We are all at one with the universe. So it's actually superfluous to start talking about oneness, because it just is. That's the way the universe is. It's the way we work. It's the way we are. We're at one with other people. We're one with nature. We're one with even the rocks on the beach, not far from where I live. So here's my problem with oneness. Even talking about oneness creates a divide. It creates separation, paradoxically. So when you're talking about oneness and discussing it as a thing, it kind of makes it other. And it makes it something to be attained when there is no such thing to be attained, because it just is. So what rather should we be, or might we, talk about instead of oneness? Well, the other thing to come up recently, or over the past few years anyway, is community. Now that is something much more the thing to focus on, I think, these days. Community and sharing. Michael Tellinger in South Africa talked some time ago, he brought the subject up a few years back, about Ubuntu, contributionism, and talking about that as a way forward. Well, I still see that as one of the ways that we are going to get through all the challenges that society is going to thrust on us in the coming years and months, or even months and years. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about supporting, being in community with other human beings. And I say human beings. I think a lot of what's happening at the moment is an attempt to dehumanize us, and I don't think we can allow that to happen. As human beings, we do incredibly well when we come together and we unite. Not in that other oneness, but unite in community and in power and strength. Now, that doesn't need to mean, fighting an army. I am talking about creating society around us whereby we all support each other. How do we do that? Well, do you know anybody? Let's just take an example. Do you know anybody in your immediate sphere who maybe could do with a little hand? Maybe they're short of money. Do you have any money that if you offer to them without any side to it, no ulterior motive, and it wouldn't affect you or your bank balance particularly, or, you know, in any way impact you negatively, could you see yourself giving that person some money without any thought of getting anything back at any stage, but saying, here, I have, you lack, you don't have, let's share what I have. Same with food. And we've all seen how food banks and community kitchens are springing up all over the place. But what if you have a very productive garden and you have loads of produce? What do you do with that? Now, I have seen people say, oh, I've got so many apples this autumn, I've left a couple of boxes at my garden gate. Help yourself. Brilliant. That's the kind of thing we want to see more of. Food for all. Free food for all. Now, I'm a big forager, but, you know, not everybody can get out into the countryside and forage. But food is another way that we can help people out. Are you a landowner? A property owner? Do you have somewhere that you let out for lots of money, maybe Airbnb, and you get quite a lot of money from that, don't you? But is it in a place where people are crying out for long-term housing? Do you have more than one property? I mean, would you say that if you just let go of the whole Airbnb thing and rented out one property long term to a family, would that really impact you? I mean, how much money do we all need in the end? And especially if we start to create the kind of community that I'm talking about here, money actually starts to become irrelevant. So that is what I think we need to be thinking of instead of oneness. Let's get over that. We are one. We're one with everything. We're one with nature. We're one with the cosmos. What is it that we need to be doing to help us get through what's coming down the line? And that is community. Having each other's backs, saying, oh, I've got, so I can help you. And maybe a couple of months down the line, they'll have and you won't, so they can help you. So the original give and take. Helping each other. So here's my challenge to you today. Who can you help? And how can you start a much more sharing community where you live? Because it's got to start at home. A lot of you might be sitting there thinking, well, I give to charity. Of course I do. I give to all these big charities. Yeah. But where does that money actually go? What does that money actually do? You've probably got a whole bunch of people living near you who could absolutely do with that money, and you would see where that money's going and what it's doing, how it's helping. Now, I'm not saying don't give money to absolutely appalling conditions, places like Turkey and the recent earthquakes and that sort of thing. I'm not saying that at all, but I am saying, let's start building our communities at home. Let's start helping each other. Let's start knocking on doors and making sure that people are okay. Then we will start to create the kind of community that people who talk about oneness, I think, really mean. Community, sharing. If we all come together and contribute what we have, our gifts even, which is the premise of contributionism after all, then we could find ourselves living in a far more harmonious world. This is the opposite of a top-down oppressive system. I see a bottom-up, spontaneous and natural way of organizing and living, a grassroots system, literally grounded and rooted in nature, and as such, strong enough to support all offshoots of society and unparalleled growth. The world really is changing, but we can make it through if we break free of our slave mindset and step into our innate power. I believe we're all more powerful and have far more abilities than we've been conditioned to believe. I'm not saying I'm superhuman or that anyone else is. We're not talking about changing in a telephone box and being able to fly suddenly. No, not at this stage anyway. Now, this power is very human. It's just been hidden from us for so long. And that's where we practical alchemists come in, you and me. Alchemists of old aimed to recreate nature's processes in a laboratory to turn lead or base metal into gold. It was, I believe, less a mystical and a much more practical work. And I see modern day alchemy as employing practical ways to live in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, as I'm very often saying. Our bodies, minds, spirits are the crucible where nature can forge its gold and allow us to develop our true potential. We're already partly made up of gold. You know, we have traces of gold in our bodies, but it's only a fraction of a milligram on average, but it is a key element in sending electrical signals through our bodies. And the average body has about, I think, a gram of silicon as well, which you'll typically find alongside gold in nature. I don't think anybody really knows what the silicon does for us, but I just find it so interesting that gold is the most inert metal on our planet. So you can almost say that it's the most zen of metals. It just is. We're always being told by spiritual leaders to just be. Although I don't suggest becoming totally inert, that won't do anybody any good. So anyway, Practical alchemy starts with an inside job, tuning into our bodies, our whole systems, not just the physical. It is about self-care in the most natural way possible, but also about care for our wider system, our community, humanity, nature. It's a symbiosis, a give and a take, a sharing. We are nature. We've cut ourselves off from it, though, the natural way of things. We've cut ourselves off from it so much. When we do reconnect, though, I've found it hugely empowering and health-giving. It's like a whole new world of possibility opens up. So now you're probably thinking, well, I hope you're thinking anyway. Okay, but how? Where do I start? Good question. We have to take action, but the starting point can be as easy as turning off your digital devices and just sitting in silence for a few minutes. See what comes up. Practice letting that go and let that become a regular habit. Ask yourself, who am I? What am I? And allow the answers to come. Feel into where you might be blocked. I mean, it might be scary at first, but allow those emotions to rise up so that you can let go. Tune out of the fake media chatter and start to consciously tune into nature. Go for walks in the park or in the woods or along a beach. Listen to the sounds of nature. Talk to the trees. Give them a hug. Ask them a question. See if they answer you. I talk to my houseplants all the time, and I'm not even a crazy cat lady. Not these days, anyway. I do keep aloe vera plants. Aloe is great for the skin. And if I need aloe vera, I always ask if it's okay to take a leaf. And if they're okay with it, they always seem to guide me to just the right leaf to take. And if you can go barefoot in the park, or anywhere really, even better. That is a great way to ground yourself. You know, wearing rubber-soled shoes is just one of the ways that we've really disconnected ourselves from the earth, because they block out electrons, which our bodies really need. We're built to conduct electricity. We are electric, which I think might have been a song title somewhere down the line. And then, of course, there's your human community. Connect with the people around you. They don't have to be like-minded or the same as you in any way. Reach out without judgment and see what happens. Small steps can be a catalyst for greater action. Be the seed in your community for healthy transformation and growth. And remember, it starts with self-care. We're all one, all part of the same universe, where the small ripples you make can gather force and generate a tsunami. Think of us as being part of one big multidimensional jigsaw. And each of us is a piece in that jigsaw. We all have a place. We all have a part to play, working with our innate abilities and creating something beautiful.
I do feel very strongly that coming together is key to a healthy us and a healthy environment, a healthy planet. I'm not the only one either. More on that in a moment. First, it's time to hear these messages, back right after this short break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home, plus fast and free shipping site-wide. Shop now through July 28th at wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Big news! Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. It's Black Friday in July. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Get our lowest prices of the summer for 5 days only. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals with fast and free shipping site-wide. So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off now through July 28th.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist. Now, enough of me. Someone far more eminent than me has also called for a coming together, not just for our well-being, but our evolution and survival. I recorded an interview with Irvin Laszlo in 2022 to talk about his book, The Upshift, The Path to Healing and Evolution on Planet Earth. It's well worth reading as a clear blueprint for creating a future where we humans can all thrive, and his message is as timely now as it was then. Irvin Laszlo is one of the world's most eminent thought leaders and one of the leading lights in new paradigm research. He's the founder and president of the Laszlo Institute of New Paradigm Research, but he's also celebrated worldwide as a systems philosopher, humanitarian, quantum physicist, and all-round modern-day genius. He's been nominated twice for the Nobel Peace Prize, and he's written or edited more than 100 books. Extraordinary achievements for an extraordinary man who was celebrated as a child prodigy on the piano in his native Hungary. I've uploaded the whole interview to my YouTube channel, Alternatively Speaking, if you want to hear all of it. But here's an excerpt from the beginning of the interview, where I started by quoting the Reverend Michael Beckwith's introduction to the book. I love this book, which is called The Upshift, the path to healing and evolution on planet Earth. And you really have, it seems, laid out very simply and clearly what's going on in the world right now and what we can do to get through this place. We're at a tipping point, obviously. And I love what the Reverend Michael Beckwith said at the beginning of the book, that you remind us that we are to make history, not just be historians of things past, but also the time that we're living through is now primed for great change. If we do not live in a state of resignation to the seeming chaos, but instead live to catch, articulate, walk, and work towards the vision of what's possible for us all. The upshift he is calling for is to see and feel what's possible and to remember that our potential is bigger than the problem. Now, I firmly believe that. What do you mean by that? Or what does Michael Beckwith mean by that when he says that of you?
Well, I hope he means more or less what I mean also. You know, young people talk about the force.
Yeah.
They say, may the force be with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's Star Wars, I believe. I think the potential that we have is a force, but it's the force of evolution.
Yeah.
Something which is not just biological, not just concerns the DNA in the cells. Something that concerns our society, something that concerns our ecology. And there is something is moving forward in this, which you can discover by looking at the overall picture. Despite of all the reversals, all the gaps, and all the chaos, there is a movement toward a higher level of coordination and moving, acting together. Even though we have all these tremendous problems, we are now being pushed practically onto the global level.
Yeah.
We have to just understand that we have to understand. That's what we have to understand. And that we work, have to work together, you see. So I think that there is something happening which is bigger than you and me, bigger than all of us, which is in nature, the force, the tendency, the trend, the motivation, whatever you call it. I call it an attractor, you know, in science we talk about an attractors. Toward wholeness and toward coherence in the world. And that's the big potential. It's bigger than us, and we do it whether we know it or not. We can temporarily suspend it, we can work against it, but on the whole, we thrive and we do well when we go visit.
Yes.
It's a big lesson to learn to go visit.
Very much so. And I talk about this show being all about how to live in line with nature, in every meaning of that, but also living true to our nature. So being what we really are, which is, a being of great potential within nature.
I think our nature is the nature of nature.
Yes.
I like that. Yeah, absolutely.
It's one. We are part.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what we have been doing maybe, and you will correct me if you think that I'm not correct in this, what we've been doing a lot up until this point is working against nature. And so it's unsustainable. And so all these structures and paradigms that we've created, we've got to the point where they can't be sustained any further and they will crumble. But we have to move beyond that. We have to work out how we can surf our wave through that. I think that's probably one way to look at how you're outlining the future for us.
Yes. I mean, we have went past what is naturally, what is nature, what is the nature of nature. Mm-hmm. There is also our nature. And if we go exceed it all the time, we do it in an unsustainable situation. And that means that it'll collapse. Sooner or later, it'll collapse. Because we try to do everything to hold it back, to hold that collapse back, try to compensate. Most of modern technology, I mean, at least to a very large extent, is compensation-oriented. We try to withstand the problems that we are facing. Now we have the climate change problems, you see, and then the whole violence problems created by the poverty, the problems with energy prices and all the things that are now happening. We are trying to do our best to somehow to compensate for them. But we are creating them.
Yeah.
If we're living within the bounds of what is natural and what is good, because what is good for us is good for each one of us. And it's good for also for the planet. And what is good for the planet is ultimately good for us. That's our home. That's our mother. So we have got to learn. Not everything that is synthetic is necessarily better. Not everything that is new is necessarily better. I mean, we have got to somehow think what is really meaningful, what is truly part of this cosmos. We are so much part of nature. We have got to learn to be, to live with it.
Yes, absolutely. And then people who listen to this show, who are new to this show, might say, well, what's that got to do with health? But it's everything to do with our health as well. Our health and well-being depends on us.
Well, the book that you quoted, the upshift, is the subtitle is The Path to Healing and Well-Being. So healing is health, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so we're at this tipping point, as we've said. We're at this place where, and Greg Braden, who a lot of people might know who are listening, another well-known thought leader, he talks about how we can either move forward or move up in the upshift towards peace and well-being or down into chaos. And we have a choice at this point, don't we?
That's what I call bifurcation. Mm-hmm. It's a rather awful word, perhaps, but it's been discovered in science and physical chemistry. Things that get an integral, a complex system, it keeps moving in the direction until suddenly there is a fluctuation coming that breaks open the coherence of the system. That means that it can move in one direction or another, but it has to change. It has to change direction. And which direction it changes to is still open. That's the great also discovery of the Nobel Prize winner, Ilya Prigozhin. He said there is a point of bifurcation, it was his term, where things are not determined. Not determined by the past, not determined by the outside. They only determined or decided by what's happening inside the systems. Sometimes very small little changes, fluctuations, and then they can blow up and they can create the change in the system. That's how nature operates, and that's how evolution operates in the physical human realm as well.
Yeah. And so we're getting to that point, or we've got to that point right now. So then on a practical individual level, as well as community level, what are the steps that we should be taking? What are the things that we should be considering as we move forward through this phase of evolution?
I think, first of all, is to recognize that we are not alone. We are not separate. That we are in this together. and that we are not separate, not only from each other, we are also not separate from the environment, from nature. If we can find ourselves together, this famous togetherness, if we can find it again, we can move forward. And the secret of that is a famous four-letter word, which you need much more to use than we have done before, which is love, yeah. L-O-V-E.
Yeah.
Love, as we feel it, is an orientation toward coherence, toward oneness. And that oneness is something built into the universe. This universe started, you know, 13.8 billion years ago, they say, the physicists, after the Big Bang, in total chaos. And since then, it's been moving toward what the Greeks call cosmos, some ordered kind of a universe. And it's moving in that direction. It's moving toward coherence. And it's very relevant because the quantum sciences are telling us that there's nothing separate in the world. It's all hanging together. One thing is always influencing every other. You can't act locally. You can't act independently of the others. You're all part of this network. So if you realize this, that we are together in this, and that we have to be together not only with each other, but with the environment, with all life on Earth, with the whole nature as it envelops us, and we start to begin to understand more and more of it. It's a delicate system, highly oriented system, oriented toward order, toward oneness. The word sciences use is coherence. Coherence with each other, coherence within the systems. One thing works with another, not against it, and certainly not independent of it. You know? So yeah. These are the basic points of a mindset shift, I would say, that we have to change. Because the old mindset was mechanistic, materialistic, you know. Look out for yourself, you are on this. You only go around once, and if you're not with us, you're against this. I mean, all of these dichotomic mindsets, you know, that gets us into these problems, more and more unsustainable situation. Back to each other, back to the embrace of nature, back to the embrace of each other in the best sense of the word. We can do that. If we feel it, yes, then we'll act like it. We don't need literally little instructions. Put your right foot forward or not follow with the left. I mean, we know how to walk.
Yeah.
You know the goal, the direction. The direction is coherence, is oneness. And the way there to that is by feeling, sensing, and acting love.
And I love what you're saying there. Absolutely. I really resonate with that. It is the only way to go. Back in the 60s, we were being told that, you know, all you need is love. It's actually quite true in many ways. Yeah. And so a lot of people, though, are going through a period of intense fear, anxiety. So how do we make this shift into thinking or acting differently? How do we do that?
Not trying to do it alone.
Mm.
Doing our part, but coming together. Let me just mention this. I have an initiative started a couple of months ago, which is now on the web, which is a site, which is the Upshift movement. And people can come in on that, and it's free of charge. You just come in, and you are being asked just to give your name and what you think is the most important thing you'd like to do, what is really the ambition, and then describe it if you wish. And then we watch these. We are getting hundreds of these responses. We are looking at it, reading them, trying to bring people together and trying to find means for them to do it, to enable them, even to look for financing as far as we can and help people to realize their dreams together, you know. There's the whole idea. And Upshift is only possible by coming together. So that's how you got to do it. Is joining together with a keen sense of mission. Our mission is a human mission, almost a cosmic mission, creating coherence on this planet. We are doing it even if you don't know it.
Yeah.
It works, even if you don't believe in it. And that reminds me of a favorite, a little funny story that was said about Heisenberg, who had a horseshoe over his lab door.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, why, do you believe in this? You're a scientist. And he said, of course I don't believe in it. But I'm told that it works even if you don't believe in it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's in a funny way of believing. But I mean, it works. Evolution works even if you don't believe it for what you're doing. But if you can believe it, and if you do it consciously and purposefully, we can accelerate the process. We can really enter on this upshift. We are ready. We are eager. We have to overcome lethargy, overcome just skepticism and pessimism and downheartedness. Look to the future as a possibility. We are understanding more of the universe now than we ever did before. We are understanding more of the nature of evolution than we ever did before. And now the way is open to cut together and enter on it, enter on the path that leads to healing and oneness in this world. We can do it.
Yeah, I believe we can. I'm totally with you on that. But it's not necessarily about coming together. I mean, a community is a word that's used a lot in this context, but it's not necessarily coming together as maybe people tried to do some years ago by buying a piece of land, bringing a bunch of people together to live together in a commune or in a community. That's not the only kind of community that we're talking about. We're talking about coming together as in, you mentioned your website, where people can come together and help each other, but not physically necessarily. We can also do it virtually.
We have to fine-tune our aspirations.
Mm.
What do we want? The classical aspiration is to power and wealth. You want to be more powerful than anybody around you, if possible, as much as possible. You want to be rich, and that's all short-term, self-centered aims. If you recognize that we can't realize this, we can't be happy with being just alone, sitting, even if you're making a pot of money, sitting on it. But we can't be happy if we're extreme poverty either, obviously. So we've got to learn that the community that we need is a community of thinking, of feeling,
yeah,
community of shared empathy, compassion, as the Dalai Lama would say. You know, I mean, all these things are coming back to the old Christian values, that the teaching of the Essenes, the old scrolls that they found in the cave by Jesus, all talking about love, talking about taking things into our own hand and doing our life in our own way. This is our perennial wisdom, and it's now more important than ever before.
Irvin Laszlo there, explaining it all far more eloquently than me, I think. The website he was talking about is worldupshift.org, so do check that out. You can also find out more about the man himself at thelaszlointitute.com and irvinlaszlobooks.com. Laszlo, of course, is a Hungarian name, so it's spelt Laszlo. And again, if you want to listen to more of his wisdom, the full interview is now on my YouTube channel, Alternatively Speaking. And now it's time for another short break. Stay tuned for more right after this.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. You're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and I don't know about you, but I've been noticing more and more people starting to suffer from hay fever now that the weather's warming up and the pollen count is climbing. I always used to suffer in silence for a few weeks in spring or early summer, but this year I will be making good use of Nasal Guard. It's a discreet gel that helps people who suffer from hay fever and pet allergies. It's also great for travellers by keeping pollution and virus-sized airborne particles out of our system. Ashok Vahi is the man who came up with the idea to create a drug-free solution to this perennial problem. Here he is to tell us the story of how Nasal Guard came about.
My older daughter, Ekta Vahi, used to suffer from cat allergies. And when she was very young, She was, to the best of my knowledge, no more than 80 years old. She has, in our neighborhood, they were her friends, and they used to exchange each other's residence to play and home to play or sleepovers. And two friends, one particularly nearby, had a cat as a pet at the home. And she, my daughter Ekta, just couldn't visit that home because my daughter was so severely allergic to cat. She has been a great student and all her life. And like any other parent, you try to bring some over-the-counter, you know, medicine and give it to her. The medicine worked okay, but it had side effects. She started to feel drowsy in the classroom, and it started to show that, you know, I mean, when you are drowsy, you can study and you can take part in the same way. And I thought, as a father, I have to resolve this problem. And I started to see, how can I intervene without giving her, or do something without giving her a outside drug product, which will not. So that was my inspiration to create a product. And when I started to search technologies, there were filters available for the nose, even at that time. I'm talking about early 1990s, 1991, 1992. And the challenge became that I found filters which people had to insert in nose. They didn't look pretty at all. It was like a filter at the butt of the cigarette, like a filter cigarette.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
That doesn't look pretty, and it doesn't work right. And so I said it has to be invisible as to work. And safety was a great aspect. Never do I point out that my motivation was not to create a product for sake of money or business. I was trying to solve my own daughter's problem. And one thing led to the other. It came very clear to me that I have to create a water-based type of product around the nose, which will stop. And then I started to dig particle science and at the library of Princeton University early on. And I came across that there are some naturally created waxes, like bee wax and all that. But that was also a wax, like a heavier product, not water-based. That research led to me cationic quaternary agents. And I wanted to create a cationic lotion strong enough to catch airborne particles. And experimenting took it. It's a message to your entrepreneurial mind people. Try again till you succeed. I'm going to be honest that first 82 trials of the formulation,
82, 8+2,
worked for a short time, didn't work at all, or worked not in the right way, all that. And I didn't lose hope. I still kept trying.
How many years did you try? How many years were you working?
It took me 2.5 years because one experiment takes about 10 to anywhere between 6 to 12 variations.
Yeah.
Because you identify an ingredient before you rule it out. You try different formulations or compositions of that. So it took quite a bit of time to get to the first product. And many issues came that it was smelly. The ingredients was a very bad smell. It didn't stick properly, or it was visible. So my daughter was helping me tell me, oh, it worked, but I don't like the stickiness of it. Even if it was water-based, that, you know, some of the bottom line or summary is that it took a lot of trials to produce the first one. And then I did the patent search. There was no technology like that. Fortunately, there's no other technology like that even today, because I've been constantly innovating what I've done in higher domains. And so the phase one of the story is my daughter was the inspiration to create a product. And The first patent and the first formulation, I think, was granted in 1994 for nasal guard under electrostatically charged cationic product for nasal application. And that led to the evolvement of the product till 2019, like wow. From 1990s to that, when I got other two patents for microfiltration. Such polymers were non-existent at that time, totally.
I'm fascinated. Who wants to take a drug to deal with the effect of something when they can just prevent it in the first place?
Very loaded question. Histamines created by allergic reaction is a safety measure. It's an immune response of your body. Body hasn't got anything wrong working yet. Body just took a rope to be a snake and it reacted. It saw a substance which is harmless to be harmful to save you from that, flooding it with water, which is as histamine, to dilute it. And that is a nuisance for you. And you kill it with the anti of that, you know, which is antihistamine.
Mm-hmm.
And people grow out of it. You take one is antihistamine and then after 2, 3, 4 years, you go to a different one because your body got immune to it.
Yeah.
And then you keep changing. Now there are other products which are not antihistamines, but there are other products. They're all masking it.
Mm-hmm.
Till you reach a point in your life that none of these drugs work on you. It may take 20 years, 30 years, whatever time it takes. But they reach a point. And at that point, they say, what now? And the doctor says, I'll have to give you shots now. And shots are what? Shots are exactly the same substance that you are allergic to.
Wow. Yeah.
And they give you, flood you with that so that the body can't even react to it. So you playing with your own body's autoimmune system.
Ashok Vahi there. Now, if you want to try Nasal Guard for yourself, just click on the link on the UK Health Radio homepage for worldwide delivery. And that just about brings us to the end of today's show, brought to you in association with Nasal Guard, the drug-free nasal gel that uses electrostatic technology to block harmful airborne contaminants as well as indoor and outdoor allergens. If you want to find out more about me, then do check out my websites, thepracticalalchemist.uk and also safehavenhealing.uk. That's where you'll find out all about my energy clearing work. You'll find all the links to my social media channels at my websites, as well as my new YouTube channel, Alternatively Speaking. For now, though, there's just time to say thank you for listening. Join me next time for more Practical Alchemy. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.